Amen. Thank you, choir, musicians. Thank all of you awesome people who are sitting in this sanctuary worshiping God. We thank the Lord for you. And we know that he is indeed a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper. This is a good day, saints. Anytime we can wake up on this side of heaven, it's a good day. It's a good day when we can get up out of bed. Everybody didn't get up out of bed this morning. Oh, they still here, but they couldn't get up out of bed. We are blessed to have the health that we have. We're blessed to have the Savior that we have, who obeyed the call of God in his life, the one who sent him into this world to die on a cross for our sins. For we were on our way to a Christless hell. Oh, but he shed his blood. And the Bible says that God showed his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But you know, in preparation for his ministry, he had to go through some tests. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the temptation of the Son of Man. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And just so we can get the flavor, we're going to go ahead and look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14 and read them through. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended those 40 days, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. That's part of the message. We're going to go ahead and read through Luke 14 itself. So we'll do that. And I believe I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a, let's start at verse 3. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish." Verse 7, "Therefore, if you will worship me, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Verse 8, "And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Verse 9, "Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him in the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered in verse 12 and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 13, then when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Our message today is entitled The Temptation of the Son of Man, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. First point, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 4, verses 1 through 2. Second point, his first temptation. Luke 4, 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. His second temptation, verses 5 and 8 of Luke 4. His third temptation, Luke 4, verses 9 through 13. And finally, point number 5, he returned victorious and full of the Holy Spirit. He returned victorious and full of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. James 4, verse 7. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 15. The temptation of the Son of Man. Now, Jesus had been baptized there in the Jordan by his cousin, John the Baptist. And at that time, we saw God speak as he opened the doors of heaven and declared that this was his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. You see, Jesus was in preparation to do the earthly ministry that his Father sent him to do. He hadn't started it yet, but he, in his preparation, first received the baptism of repentance, even though he was divine. And then the Holy Spirit in physical form, like a dove, lit on him. So we see the Holy Spirit affirming the Father's declaration and, if you will, anointing him. Talking about Jesus. Now, who was Jesus? He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. See, he's the second Adam. The first Adam was innocent. He was created. He had no sin. However, he could be tempted. Jesus, the second Adam, was divine. And he was also 100% man. And yes, Jesus, 100% man, could be tempted. God tells us that, for he sent him not in the temptation that we think of, but in the test mode. The Holy Spirit in Mark He drove Jesus into the wilderness. He was doing it on purpose. For what purpose? To be tempted by the devil. Why? Wasn't he divine? He can't be tempted to do sin. Does Jesus have a will of his own? Did he not say, not my will, but yours be done? Let's pay attention now. We're going somewhere with this. You see, in our first point, we see that Jesus, my friends, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The first Adam had everything that you could desire. He had all the food he could eat, all the beautiful sights to look at, a nice wife to be with. He didn't have to worry about comparing himself to anybody else. He had a good life. And he was sinless until Satan came along and whispered some sweet nothings to his wife. And because his wife evidently didn't go to Sunday school, she forgot what God said. Because when he approached Eve, he began to deceive her. And as a result, Adam also, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he partook and ate that fruit. Even though there was plenty to eat, he was not hungry like Jesus was for 40 days. But he still decided to break and disobey the commandment of God. Satan took advantage of him. And he fell. The second Adam, as he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days, not just afterwards, for 40 days he was pestered. For 40 days he was tested. For 40 days he had not eaten. He was hungry. For 40 days, Satan just bullied on him, taunted him for 40 days, day after day after day. He was facing the onslaught of the enemy. Now let's pay attention here. He was divine, wasn't he? He was the Son of God. The Son of God does not sin. But did the Son of God take his deity off and put it in a suitcase and leave home and then go to earth? No, his deity was with him all the time. But you see, the problem with Adam was once he disobeyed God, once he did not submit himself to the Father, once he decided to do his own will, he fell. He was broken. He was no longer in the perfect image of God. But Jesus, who was also innocent, but was also divine, was the perfect man. What did Jesus always say? I always do the will of my Father. I always do the will of my Father. I don't do anything on my own, but I look and see what my dad is doing, and I do the same thing. The first Adam disobeyed, did not submit himself to the Father, and he failed. He had no Holy spirit to lean on. The second Adam, he was divine, yes. But although he did not leave his divinity in a bag and came to earth, he came to earth with his divinity. But he put it in his pocket because he didn't need to use it until such time as God required him to use it. Are you following me? So what then did he use? He was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit of God was leading him out into the wilderness. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Jesus, having been anointed physically, he always had the Holy Spirit, okay? Just like John the Baptist. But he was anointed publicly, and he was filled. He was empowered. He was energized. He was depending on the Holy Spirit for the 100% man that he was. Filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the same Holy Spirit into the wilderness. A place that had very little water. A place in which there were wild beasts who would devour him. A place full of rocky places, jagged places, dangerous places. And he had no food to eat. He was fasting. It says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, verse 2, being tempted. Now, in the English language, it's tempted. In the sense of what it meant in the original language is he was tested. Why is he being tested? Well, what's he going to do? What was his mission? To be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. But if he's a Lamb of God, he has to be an unblemished Lamb. He has to be a Lamb that is worthy to die for a man. See, I can't die for y'all. I got way too many things wrong with me. If y'all are waiting for Dwayne Kasem to die on the cross for you, y'all have been in trouble. Because I need someone to die for me. But he was a perfect man, sinless. Sinless. Blameless. God is showing us in this passage as he's being tested to prove before he begins his Judean ministry that he can handle it as 100% man. 100% God, he's not interested in women and all that other stuff. His mission is to carry forth the gospel. He'll tell us that later in the fourth chapter where he goes to the synagogue and says, the Spirit of God has anointed me. Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Right? But since that's what he's supposed to be about, guess what Satan wants him to do? He wants him to get off track. That's right. That's why he's being tested. Satan wants to get him off track. Let's think about it for a minute. He's going into the wilderness, right? Where was the first Adam? Was he in the ghetto? No, that boy had it all. He was in the Garden of Eden. How much would people pay today if they could go to the Garden of Eden? Do you think Elon Musk would have no problem paying for a trip to the Garden of Eden? They got what there? They got what? Oh, let me see how many dollars I can spend. There would be all kinds of rich folk trying to get to the Garden of Eden. And Adam had everything he wanted. But where was Jesus? The second Adam. In the wilderness. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Can you imagine the first Adam? A bunch of mosquitoes biting him all the time. He didn't worry about that. A bunch of little critters falling on the floor of his house. Wife crying and saying, get them things out of here. What kind of roach motel are we in? He had everything. Jesus, he ate nothing. And afterwards, after all that time of being pestered, taunted, bullied by Satan, says that he was hungry. You ever been hungry? I've been hungry. Now that I have the diabetes disease, there are times that my blood sugar will get real low. And even though once I pass 7-Eleven, it's only 2 minutes to my house, I've been so hungry, my blood sugar so low, it took me 8 minutes to figure out how to get home. It's out of my mind. Don't know how to get home. I'm going to keep riding around until I see my house. He was hungry. He was fasting. Now, did not Jesus take 2 pieces of fish and a boy's lunch, 5 pieces of bread, and didn't he make enough food to feed 5,000 people? Didn't he feed the 3,000, the 4,000, and the 5,000? And for you fishermen in here, wouldn't you want Jesus to go fishing with you? Master, what do you mean go out? It's daytime. The fish come out at night. What do you mean? We haven't caught anything all night. Okay, if you say so. And the fish literally just jumped in the boat. About to broke the nets. Does the deity in Jesus Christ, the one who can walk on water whenever he needs to get to the other side to do his ministry, when he pulls out his deity card and uses it, do you think he's got a problem turning bread, turning stone into bread? No. Look what the Bible says in verse 2. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, then he, as they ended those 40 days, he was hungry. It takes us to point number 2, his first temptation. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. And the devil said to him, the devil still thinks, having been kicked out of heaven, that he can still be exalted above God. He's that full of pride that he thinks, let me see. The first Adam had everything he needed. He had all the food he wanted, but I broke him. Now this guy, yeah, I know he's the son of God, but this is first time driving that kind of flesh. See, I know the flesh. For years and years, I've been messing with folks' flesh. David, I mess with his flesh. Samson, I mess with his flesh. They supposed to have been godly people. Just because he's the son of God, I know I can do it. Let me try one more time. Hadn't broken them yet, but I'm going to get them. And the devil said to him, if you are the son of God. Now, in the original language, it should read, since you are the son of God. All right? He knows he's the son of God. But he's still taunting Jesus because he wants Jesus to break fellowship with the Father. You see, his whole point, talking about Jesus, is to be submissive to the will of the Father to go to the cross and not to act on his own. So he says, command this stone. Use the word command, this stone to become bread. Go ahead, Jesus. Just like we know you can. Go ahead and just use some of your divine magic and turn that stone into bread. I mean, it looks like bread. Look at it. Nice and round and flat, just like bread is. Got plenty of them around here. Aren't you hungry? When was the last time you ate? Well, you had a good breakfast before you went to the Jordan to get baptized, but you haven't been to IHOP since? I know you're hungry. Go ahead. Go ahead and pull out that divine card. Ain't nobody looking but me. And who's going to believe me? I'm a liar, right? I mean, you may as well go ahead, Jesus, since you're the Son of God. Go ahead. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Jesus did not use his eloquent speaking skills. Jesus did not use the lofty words of his own will against the devil. No, he pulled out the scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word of God. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was and has always lived a spirit-filled and spirit-led life. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He lived a spirit-controlled life. God led him in the spirit into the wilderness to put him in a position of weakness and reliance on the Father. Jesus' mission on this earth was involved doing nothing of his own strength or of his own will, but only doing what the Father commanded him, according to the power the Father provided, in the timing and in the situations in which God provided it. Jesus was in perfect communication. If you read the Amplified version of this 4:1, with the Holy Spirit. And in his weakened state, this prideful devil wanted to take advantage of that weakness. Now, there are three types of temptation. If you go look at 1 John 2 and verse 16, there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in this first temptation, there's this temptation of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Physical need, he was hungry. He's weakened, the lust of the flesh. Jesus said in response to his taunting, it is written, man should not live by bread alone. Jesus, in this first temptation, had the problem and a test of appetite. After 40 days of eating nothing, his body is looking for nourishment. He has a true and real need. Yes, he could use his divine ability to eat anytime he wanted to, but is that what he's there for? Or is he dependent on God? Is he full of the Holy Spirit or not? Is he dependent on the Holy Spirit? Yes, he is. Because he's using his position as the second Adam, 100% man. God led him into the wilderness to be put him in a position of weakness and reliance on the Father. Satan's temptation was not simply about the hunger, folks. He was just using it as he does. That deceiver, that trickster. It was about Jesus taking things into his own hands to meet his own felt need in his own timing and in his own power. Notice Satan said, command these stones. When you go to the store, do you command anything in the store? You just go buy it, right? You wish you could with the prices today. Woo! Jesus' reply was not simple divine piety. He quoted directly from Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, and you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years. This is Moses talking to the people before they go across, right? That he might humble you, testing you. This is God talking through Moses to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. This is where he's quoting from. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, bread, which you did not know. Nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus didn't just choose a random scripture. He chose a scripture that talked about being humble and being hungry and being tested by the Lord to rely on God, who would provide the manna from heaven to show them that they need him. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's the one Jesus pulled out. Floored that boy. Round one, Jesus won, Satan goose egg in his first temptation. Can we look at Philippians 2 and verse 8? Referring to Jesus, and being found in appearance as a man, son of man, 100% human, sinless, he did what? Humbled himself. Didn't we just read in Deuteronomy about being humble? Jesus took his deity, put it in his pocket. He's still full deity. The Mount of Transfiguration will show you that. But he became obedient. What's obedient mean? Does it mean obey? Obey what? Obey God's what? Oh, come on now. He was obeying whose word? To the point of what? Even the death of the cross. So even though he could have used his deity to make his own food, He was humbling himself, fully God, but in the 100% man, obedient under. He submitted himself to God. He resisted the devil. He used the scripture and the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to knock Satan out in that first temptation. Did you get that? Don't come saying, well, you know, Jesus was divine, so I don't know, Brother Casey. Just because Jesus did all them, you know, he was the Son of God. He couldn't sin anyway. I'm sorry. I just read to you all that explanation. Don't you leave here and say, well, you know, everybody's sinning. You know how it is. You know how it is, Brother Casey. You know, everybody falls every now and then. Did Jesus fall? Was it because he was divine? It was because he was under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he submitted himself to God under him. Why? To become obedient even to the point of death. Second point. Third point. His second temptation. Luke 4, verses 5 through 8. You see, Jesus was a spirit-filled man. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He was filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, being obedient unto the Father, allowed him the opportunity to say no. That's an example for us. Because in the second chapter of Acts, the church was also anointed with the Holy Spirit. Am I right? So we have the same Holy Spirit that the 100% Son of Man had in the wilderness. Don't say we have to sin. No, we don't. We don't have to. Brother Casey, you know that everybody, Look, Paul already said that, didn't he? In Romans, that which I would do, I didn't. But I keep messing up. He already covered that. The deal is, you and I, when we are under the influence and the power and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we don't have to. We do, but that's because we choose to do so. Can't nobody make us sin. It's our choice. But Jesus, being obedient unto death, decided, no, no, no. I will do as my Father has said, not my will, but his be done. Then the devil taken him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you. I know you're trying to be king of kings. But look, why you got to go through all that stuff that the Father wants to put you through? Look here, I already got it. For this has been delivered to me. See, I already own it. I'm the prince of this world. And I will give it to whomever I wish. Now, I want to make a point here. Whether this was true or not isn't really the question of this temptation. He can offer whatever he wants, true or not. But would you look at the next verse? Therefore, if you will do what? Worship before me, all will be yours. See, that's the ticket. He's saying, just for one second, just for a nanosecond, go ahead and give me some props, Jesus. Go ahead, See, I'm so full of pride. I know that you know that I got all this, and you need to be under me. You see, I need to be exalted above you and your daddy. All I ask, you can have everything. Just worship me. That's all I want you to do, Jesus. Now, would Jesus say, Father, is there any other way they don't have to take this cup of suffering? Didn't he say that? Is there any other way for me to get out of this pain that I'm going to go through on the cross? Is there any other way to save mankind than to have to go through all of that? Look, wait a minute now. He's offering me all this. You mean tell me I can have everything? I can be King of Kings right now? Because the lust of the eyes, I see the kingdoms. Now, some of us might have said, you know what? Let me see, going to the cross, bleeding, getting cussed at, my friends turning on me, one of them, the old Judas, old thief, he gonna turn me in and get paid for it. Well, wait a minute, I see all this. I see all the kingdoms. I can have this right now. Not my will, but yours be done. See, Jesus can be tempted too, can't he? He has his own will, doesn't he? We just went over that, right? But according to Philippians 2, he humbled himself. Huh? To be what? Obedient, even to the point of death. He said, I always obey my Father. Didn't he say that? Therefore, if you worship me before me, all will be yours. Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is what? To obey God is to obey his word, to obey his commandments. Where are his commandments? It's in the scriptures. For it was written in the scriptures, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Again, he's quoting from Deuteronomy. See, Satan said, worship me. He said, I can't do that. That's a direct violation of what I'm here for. I'm not here to worship you. I'm here to defeat you. Now, Dwayne Kasem would have said, you dummy, but I wasn't there. Walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the eyes. And next point, his third temptation, the pride of life. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11 says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The temptation of pride, his third temptation, the pride of life. Pride expects God to do something that is not in his plan. Let me say that again. Pride expects God to do something that is not in his plan. Now, Jesus will die on the cross. That's God's plan. But Satan wants Jesus to put God to the test in this third temptation. Verse 9. Then he led Jesus. Now, remember we said that the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus into the wilderness? Now, who's trying to lead who? Satan's trying to lead Jesus to Jerusalem. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? Isn't he going to become the triumphal king? Look. He had him stand on the pinnacle of the highest point of the temple and said in a very mocking way, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Since you're so intent on dying, go ahead. Watch. Because you think you know some scripture? I know some too. Look at the next verse. For it is written, oh, ha, ha, Satan. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. I mean, if you're going to really obey God's word, then go ahead and put God to the test. Jump off. God has no choice but to send some angels to help his son so he won't die. Jesus responds. It says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 11. Next verse. Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said. That's the same thing as it is written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, he's quoting from Deuteronomy. See, Jesus, according to Philippians 2, verse 8, as he humbled himself to the point of obedience to God, he is going to do what his Father sent him to do. He's going to obey his Father all the time. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he is able to do so. He's giving us an example. No matter what it is that God has for you and I to do, no matter what our mission is before God, it is up to us to make a choice. The pride of life or to be obedient to our Father. We have the word of God in us. Psalms 119, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How can he remain pure? By taking heed to the word of God. Verse 11 talks about hiding the word in his heart, that he might not sin against God. I got some tools. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Yeah, I'm going to die on the cross, but I'm not here to test and see if God will actually rescue me. That's not what I'm here for, Satan. I don't care where you bring me. I don't care where you place me. I'm going to be obedient to my Father. And if you don't believe that, I got some scripture for you from Deuteronomy chapter 8. When the devil had ended every temptation, he was out of bullets. He ain't had nothing else. He threw everything at him for 40 days. 40 days of being bullying and tempting and testing Jesus. Jesus did not fail. He departed from him until a more opportune time. Our last point. He returned what? Victorious. And what else? Full of the Holy Spirit. He came full of the Holy Spirit. He's leaving full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus 3, Satan struck out. Goose egg. Look at verse 14 of chapter Luke. Then Jesus returned in the what? In the power of the Spirit of Galilee. Now, if you tell me that, well, Brother Kason, look, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, I'm not going to sin. Lie. Just because you're full of the Spirit does not mean you won't sin. if you are in the full empowerment of the Holy Spirit and you rely on him instead of yourself like I would, like you would, and I rely instead on the Spirit of God, then I fall into what's happening with James chapter 4 and verse 7. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit who? If we're filled with the Spirit and we submit ourselves to God, not counting on our own super spiritual selves, we will be able to resist the devil just as Jesus did. And guess what happens when we do what Jesus did as 100% man in the wilderness who was full of the Holy Spirit and decided that he was going to be humble enough to not use his deity card, but to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and his Father. He'll flee from you. By the way, that's a promise from God. You ain't got to talk to the devil. You don't need to. He's going to run. God already said it. And we don't have to sin if we don't want to. I know we can. Guess what? If we don't want to, we won't. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation which has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, and along with the temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it or bear under it. And he knows how far you can go. So I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to submit myself to God. I need to rely on God's word. I need to know what his word says so I can use it. If I do that, then just as Jesus gave us an example, just as he did when he got baptized, he was not a sinner. Yet he told John, who said, look, you need to baptize me. He said, no. This is an example. The divine Son of God, the sinless Son of God, and 100% man, under the full power of the Holy Spirit, was able to resist the devil by submitting himself to God. He used the, as we would call it, the sword of the Spirit. He was in the full armor of God so that he could stand. That's what we need to do. Put on that full armor so that we can stand against those fiery darts with that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit. Oh, we don't have to. I know in the parking lot y'all going to say, well, see, Brother Cason, he's a bookworm. See, he needs to understand. Don't let me hear you say that. You know better than that. You got the word this morning, didn't you? Now, I'm not saying you can't whisper it to somebody. But you done got the word of God today. Sorry. Don't try that excuse. First Adam did. It was that woman you gave me. What did you say? It was that stupid serpent. Satan said, psh, I was just standing there. I'm a liar, right? Did I tell him to believe me? Everybody got excuses. Jesus didn't have an excuse. He said, no. I'm going to submit to my Father, and I'm going to do what he said, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. You and I, in conclusion, we can take comfort in that he gave us an example. No, we are going to sin. We all know that. But we cannot have the attitude that says, well, you know, everybody sins. No, we need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Jesus, be filled with the Spirit, rely on the power of the Spirit. Do as James chapter 4 and verse 7 says. We can have some victory. We can have some victory. God will provide ways of escape. He did that to Joseph. Joseph knew it was wrong to be messing with Potiphar's wife. And if it meant him going to jail, well, that's the way it was. The three Hebrew boys, bow down to me when the music starts, when the jam starts to go ahead and bow down. I said, no, we not. No. We only going to bow to God. Whether he comes and saves us or not, not our problem. But whatever the case is, we are not going to bow down to you. We don't have to. We don't have to. But we should look to Jesus, the example that he gave us as the Son of Man, 100% man, full of the Holy Spirit, with his deity in his pocket. He didn't have to use it. Neither do we have to use our own wisdom to fall to these temptations. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for the example that you've given us through your Son. Lord, I know that we are going to mess up, but I thank God that we don't have to. I thank you that you sent your Son and your Holy Spirit to give us this opportunity to walk victoriously, walking in the Spirit, so we do not have to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, nor fall victim to the pride of life. We thank you, and Lord, give us the strength through the power of your Holy Spirit to be like Jesus as we are in this sanctification part of our life. Haven't been glorified yet, but the closer we walk with you, the closer we'll look like Jesus. And I thank you for giving us all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.